We make our way to chapter 3. We discover this message within a message. Now, if you're taking note, jot this down because this is going to be the title of the message tonight. It's called The Pilgrim's Progress. The Pilgrim's Progress. And you go, why? Tonight, we're going to learn what each gate represents, basically the believer's progress in the Lord.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
We continue in our Hope Restored series, a verse-by-verse study through the book of Nehemiah. Last time, the vision became action as God's people committed themselves to rebuilding. Today, in Nehemiah 3, verses 1 through 3, we begin seeing the actual work take shape in a message titled, The Pilgrim's Progress. The rebuilding doesn't happen all at once. Instead, it happens section by section, person by person, and family by family. The journey of restoration is not built on giant leaps, but on consistent faithfulness. The first gate repaired is the sheep gate, reminding us that true restoration always begins with God and His provision. The work of rebuilding is accomplished through faithful people making steady progress together. God rarely asks us to finish everything today. He asks us to be faithful in today's assignment. So as we go through today's lesson, let's ask, what area of your spiritual life needs patience? Steady progress instead of quick results. Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, with today's title, The Pilgrim's Progress. Here's Pastor Ben.
The Bible tells us, though, that these guys, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, they were deeply disturbed. Remember? That's so deep. Why? Because if you just dig a little bit deeper, it means it was violent action with evil and hate, and they mocked with evil intent. I don't think you have to look very far in today's world to see exactly this. When a young man of 31 gets shot in broad daylight, assassinated, and people rejoice, we have a problem. You go, what's the problem, man? Aren't we all have a free speech? No, listen. God created every one of us in His image, and we're image bearers. We're image bearers. We're created in the Imago Dei. And for somebody to take a life for whatever reason, and others, their violent action with evil and hate. Listen to me. The enemy is trying to divide the world and divide the church again. If you look in any social media, this past Sunday, I saw people post, they said, I'm leaving my church that I love of 10 years. I'm leaving it. Let me tell you why. Because they didn't say anything about Charlie Kirk. They didn't mention a single word. They didn't say anything. And that bothers me, so I'm leaving the church. And then on this side, you had somebody come and go, well, I've been going to church, my church for 15 years. I'm leaving my church. I'm definitely disappointed. Well, why is that? Well, they made much of Charlie Kirk. And so what are they doing? Feel the weight of that, because it's going to cause division among us believers. There's only one, Jesus. There's only one. So these guys were deeply disturbed, their violent action and evil hate, and they mocked with evil intent. But I love Nehemiah. Why? Nehemiah was a man who prayed. How long did he pray? 4 months. How long did he fast? 4 months. The Spirit of God is moving in him. And when these guys came this is what we can learn. With every violent action, with every evil intent, with the, hey, listen what he said. Listen what he said. What is this thing you're doing? They laughed at us. You're going to do what? And it's that mocking, like, what? You know what Nehemiah did? Remember. And this is so classic, but the first thing he said was, I don't know about you, but we can count on God. He said in verse 20, so I answered them. And here's his reply. The God of heaven himself will prosper us. The God of heaven, what's he saying? God's going to make sure we succeed. You can laugh all you want. God's on my side. God's on my side. There are people in your lives who will laugh at you today for your faith in Jesus. They will laugh at you for your commitment to Jesus. And you sit there and you go, you know what? God's going to make sure I succeed. He's got my back. The second thing he said, he says, and you know what? God can count on us. Look what he said. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. God's got our back. I'm in. I'm in. What do you want me to do with me, Lord? I'm in. What you need to understand is God's way is so amazing, but it's a commitment nonetheless. It's a commitment. It's deep. It's, okay, I'm in. What does that mean? It means sacrifice. It means that we're in. What do you want to do with us, Lord? It means we're in financially. It means we're in what spiritually. It means we're in prayerfully. We're servants. We're going to rise and build. We're his servants. We're going to work. Let's do this. Let's do this. But I love what he says most of all in the last part of verse 20. He said, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, hit the road. You have no business here. You get no say in what we're doing. Mind your own business. That's basically what he says. You have no heritage. You guys, move along. I don't understand that. And let me say this to you. The enemies of your Christian life, they have no heritage or right in your life. The only thing we're obligated to do is to show them the love of Jesus. That's all. That's all. So as we make our way, that's where we ended chapter 2. As we make our way to chapter 3, we discover this message within a message. Now, if you're taking note, jot this down because this is going to be the title of the message tonight. It's called The Pilgrim's Progress. The Pilgrim's Progress. And you go, why? Tonight, we're going to learn what each gate represents, basically the believer's progress in the Lord. Now, I want you to think about this. Put on your thinking caps. Jerusalem. It was a city that's surrounded by a wall. The wall, if you remember, was there for protection, okay? Look at me for a second. When they built the foundation of the temple, remember, that was their connection with God. This is their communion with God. They needed the temple. They wanted to rebuild that, but they also needed what? Protection. I want to worship God, but I'm always looking over my shoulder because I don't know who's going to attack, and so we got to do something. And the people within the wall would live in security and they would be able to worship without worry. To worship without worry. And listen, that is why it's so important to Nehemiah to build and to, or Nehemiah and the Lord to rebuild the wall. Why? Because God wants his people to worship without fear. To worship. Guys, listen, here's the application. Here's the takeaway for you and I. When it comes to building lives, when it's coming to having our hope restored, it's vital that we take time to build the walls. The walls of our heart, the walls, we just got to build walls. You go, well, how, Pastor? Ready, jot this down. The first thing is forgiveness. Forgiveness. We must have an attitude of forgiveness. And it's hard. I'm not saying, oh, you need to forgive. There's people that hurt us that we have a hard time forgiving. But we have to have that attitude of forgiveness. Okay, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to be able to worship freely with the protection that I have in you. And I can't be harboring bitterness towards somebody. I need to let it go. God, protect me. Make sure I have boundaries because I don't want this person to hurt me again. But forgiveness is yours. Do you guys remember Corrie Ten Boom? Do you remember her? Corrie Ten Boom, when she was confronted with the guard that abused her, became a Christian. She met up with him. And he came to her and said, I'm a Christian now, and I want to ask your forgiveness. And you know what she said? Lord, I can't forgive him. He did awful and ugly things to me and my sister, but you can. In me, you can forgive him. And that's where it starts. Lord, you can do it. I think it's beautiful to be honest with the Lord. There, Lord, I can. Lord, I don't want to. And the Lord, but you can through me, Lord. Loving the unlovable. It's easy to love people that you love. The lovable, it's easy. But what about those ones that God puts in your path that is like, oh, Lord, you can love. We used to sing a song many years ago, Love Through Me. Holy Spirit loves through me. And that's what we need to do. Let me be your hands and your feet. God loves through me. I think that's what Nehemiah would do. You go, what else? I think building the walls of not only forgiveness, but number two, understanding. Understanding, that's so important. I think about an old group of pastors. An old group of pastors that were on the golf course. They run into a maintenance guy. Maintenance guy was out there and taking a break and smoking a cigarette and watching these old group of pastors come up, and they come up to him and they say, "We want to tell you about heaven. We're concerned for your salvation." The guy puts out the cigarette and says, "If you were so concerned for my salvation, how come you didn't ask me my name first?" And you go, what does that mean? Guys, we got to build a bridge. We need to see, and we have to have understanding of where someone is. What's your story? What's going on with you? Oh, now I want to share Jesus. I understand. Or I don't understand. Help me. I don't understand. Another way to take time to build walls, guys, this is so important, is humility. We talked about humility. And that just ties in with forgiveness and understanding and humility. When it comes to building our lives and having the hope restored, not only is it humility, but it's communication. Communication. I think a great way to understand communication is look at somebody and say, "Okay, here's what I heard you say. Is this what you meant?" No, that's not what I meant. Okay, so communication is key. And I think last but not least, it should be all wrapped with compassion. And compassion moves us to do something. Compassion moves us to do something. Compassion moves us to pay for the groceries of a single mom or whatever it might be. Compassion moves us to encourage somebody. "Hey, you okay? It was really nice to get a phone call of just encouragement. Our radio broadcast goes across the United States. It was really nice to go, hey, I've kind of put you on the radar. You're who I listen to." Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Back in our study, let's rewind, go back here. Around the wall in Jerusalem are 10 gates, okay? 10 gates are a point of entry, each one for a different reason, each symbolizing a different thing. Now, what these gates reveal to us is the pilgrim's progress of the believer's walk. You go, what does that mean? You ready? The gates represent the progress for you and I as believers from salvation all the way to the unbeliever's judgment. And you go, what does this mean? When we get through with the gates, and we'll do some tonight, we'll do some next week, but when you get through the gates, you're going to go, wow, I mean, man did not write this. The Holy Spirit gave men. Men penned it, but it's like, wow. Wow. Because everything in the Old Testament points to how beautiful my Jesus is. And so when we see victories and valleys, we see high points and low points. Think about it like this. Your life is a story being written as we speak. Each day is a new entry. Every situation, a different challenge. This is the life. This is your life in the Lord. So where do we begin? Obviously, chapter 3, verse 1, jot this down, it's the sheep gate. It's the sheep gate. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built it as far as the tower of the 100 and consecrated it, then as far as the tower of Haniel." Now, that's verse 1. Let's look at this. Let's break it down. Why? Because there's two specific applications we can learn from this verse. What is it? If you have a pencil handy, go ahead and underline or highlight Eliashib the high priest. Why? This was the first worker mentioned. The first worker. What did he do? He rose up to do the work with the other priests. And they worked on rebuilding the sheep gate and the section of the wall there. You go, okay, cool. Yeah, he's the first worker. Then Eliashib. Yes, but everything in God's word has a purpose. You go, well, what's the application? How do we apply this? Eliashib, you ready? Eliashib, the high priest, acted as a godly leader should. He was out in front of the work, leading by example. Oh, this is deep. This is deep. Okay? If you're going to be a godly leader in your home, in your job, lead by example. Lead by example. Eliashib did not act if he was too spiritual for the hard work of rebuilding the walls. Can you imagine? Nehemiah, come on, guys, you ready? Oh, do you know who I am? I'm the high priest. I'll pray for you. That's not leadership by example. I can't remember the story exactly. It's the story that the Lord is giving to me, but it's about a pastor who was on a ferry, and it was crossing, I don't know, some river, and it began to sink. And so everybody was running around, and he was a very well-known evangelist pastor, and everybody had buckets, and they were making sure, and they were doing this out, and so the pastor got a bucket, and he began to, and they said, no, you don't have to do this. He says, you pray, and the pastor looked at the people. There's a time to pray, and there's a time to heave water out of the sinking ship, right? There's a time to work. And that's exactly what Eliashib said. There's a time to be spiritual, and there's a time to be a high priest, but there's a time to work. A time to work. That's a great thing. Church, listen. Be an example. Be an example to people. Lead by example. The world is watching. The world is watching. He built the sheep gate. Now, if you have a pencil handy and you want to take note on this, it represents salvation for the believer. That's what the sheep gate represents. You go, what do you mean? Well, okay. So over in John's Gospel, chapter 10, we get a glimpse of Jesus being the sheep gate. John mentions it as a door, but look, John chapter 10, verse 7 says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Great verse for an amen. Why? Think about this. Let me paint the picture. When shepherds were herding their sheep in the Bible days, okay, something super cool, super, super cool, okay? I'm going to back up because I think it's just a notable thing to teach. I'll get to the sheep gate in a minute, but shepherds often led their sheep in front. During the day, they would walk in front, and the sheep would follow them and hear their voice. When it got dark, the shepherd would then back up, and he would walk with them in the middle so they wouldn't be afraid. And such a beautiful picture as our good shepherd. He leads us by day. We hear his voice. But when things get dark in our lives, when things get really, when there's storms, when we don't know what to do, the shepherd says, no, I'm right here with you. He's not leading 10 paces ahead of us. He's right here. So we have a beautiful shepherd. But in these days, listen, they didn't have corrals like we had today where the sheep could stay. So they usually would do is they would look and they would stop for the night and they would try to find this enclosure like a cave or a canyon entrance. Then they would find the narrowest spot, and then once all the sheep were in, remember, he's not leading them anymore. He's walking with them. Okay, here we come. And he takes them in. You guys know this. This is so cool. He'd find the narrowest, and once they were settled in, the shepherd would lay across the opening. That's where he would sleep. And you go, wow. The only way someone was going to get into the sheepfold was they'd have to go through the shepherd. Okay, I've got to speak a blessing over you right now. The only way somebody's going to get in your life, they have to go through the shepherd first. They're not going to get you. Everything in your life is Father filtered, and you have to trust the Lord that it's like, okay, Lord. Lord, I've made some bad choices. I've got you, Ben. I've got you. But not only that, no enemy could come in, but no sheep could get out. Why? He's blocking the door. He's got you. And I don't know if you know this, but sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. Sheep will continue to eat the grass till it turns to dirt, until they eat the dirt, until they die. That's how dumb they are. They need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. Can we agree we need a shepherd? Amen. But he's the good shepherd. The Bible tells us, jot this down, Psalm 95, 7 and 8. Psalm 95, 7 and 8. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. He says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Guys, we used to sing that song, right? We're the sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand. Now, here's what I find interesting about the sheep gate, okay? This gate would be a gate that the children of Israel would use when they're going into the temple to sacrifice. And as they would come into the temple, this is where they would bring the lamb to offer the Lord. What are they going for, church? What are they going for into the temple, into the sheep gate with a little lamb for? You go, oh, that was to sacrifice for sin. Exactly. Now catch this. This is deep. This is so good, guys. This is gonna bless you. Before the lamb was killed, the priest would first inspect the lamb to make sure it had no blemishes. You're like, yeah. But what you don't see is the person bringing the offering was not inspected. The lamb was. The priest looked and said, okay, what do you got here? And he would look. He never looked at the person and said, okay, let me see your life. Let me see your life. Let me see what, turn, he never, oh, this is good. Why? The priest would have the person who offered the sacrifice place their hands on the head of the lamb. And this is monumental. Why? Well, this was an act of identification. It symbolized that person realized that the lamb was paying the price for the sin. And I thought, wow, isn't that true for you and I? When it comes to salvation, we have to enter through the sheep gate of God through Jesus Christ. He is the only shepherd because he also became the very lamb we need. He is both what? Shepherd that protects and walks with us, and he is the very sacrifice. But there's more. All of his righteousness is transferred to you. All of his right, why? Because that's what it means when we're in Christ. All of his right. He's the lamb. You put your hand, you transferred all your sin on him, and he transferred all his righteousness to you. So if I were to look at you today, church, and ask you, are you as righteous as the Apostle Paul? Your answer would be, amen, yes. Why? Jesus! Well, no, Pat, I'm not. Paul was like, he was like varsity, man. I'm just like on the C team. No. Think about it. All of his righteousness was transferred to you when you're in Christ. That should let you sleep so good tonight on the pillow, because you're just like, I don't have to strive for myself. I'm saved.
Well, why are you saved?
Because Jesus.
In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.